Did you know we have completely ad-free early access to all of our episodes? Well, we do. Not only that, but we have dozens of bonus episodes waiting for you. Head on over to patreon.com/ghosttownpod, and you can check it out for 7 days absolutely free. That's patreon.com/ghosttownpod. A bad dream. I'm Jason Horton.
I'm Rebecca Lieb.
And this is Ghost Town.
Sometimes there are topics that I can't even believe we haven't covered in our 6-7 years of doing this podcast, because they truly encompass so many themes that we like to explore. Surprising cultural histories, paranormal sightings, true crime, persistent ghosts, reality TV, ripping off Disney, killer buzzsaws, just to name a few. And yet here we are in the thick of October, exploring a place that is intriguing, problematic, and as mysterious as they come. One that is still in use and part of Australia's rich cultural identity. Welcome to Dreamworld, a Queensland theme park with a chilling history all its own. The history of Dreamworld really begins in 1968, when Australian entrepreneur John Longhurst took his children to a zoo in Sydney, and he was not impressed. With the opening of Disney in the US, Longhurst was amped with entertainment possibility, thinking that it would inspire Aussies to level up in the great race to provide amazing children's entertainment. But to his dismay, his country was still sorely lacking. After reading yet another newspaper article about the wonders of Disneyland, one piece of reporting caught Longhurst's eye: the description of Disneyland as, quote, a real dream world. The phrase Dreamworld was the kicker, and on May 10, 1973, he took matters into his own hands, registering the name Dreamworld as his own trademark. 1 year later, he purchased 210 acres of land in Coomera, Australia, a sleepy town off of Australia's Gold Coast. It was there that John Longhurst's Dreamworld would be born. A hands-on perfectionist through and through, Longhurst was involved at every phase of Dreamworld's development. For example, he personally spent 12 hours a day every day for 2.5 years excavating and developing the river in the center of the park, called the Murrissippi. No, you heard that right, not Mississippi, the Murrissippi. With the designs of Magic Kingdom's Main Street USA train station and Dreamworld's City Hall building, Longhurst enlisted Imagineers from Disneyland and Walt Disney World, along with local architects, to build the rest of his vision out. Finally, for the cash, Longhurst partnered with a very successful furniture salesman named Ken Lord to help with the rest of the funding needed to create Dreamworld. Longhurst envisioned three big attractions to be the focus and foundation of Dreamworld: a steam-powered railway, an IMAX theater, an early version of course, and a car automotive attraction. For the railway, a locomotive was purchased and 9,800 feet of track was laid down to develop the attraction called the Cannonball Express. The train itself was legit, originally used during the First World War in France, before being transported to Queensland for use in sugarcane fields. As the railway was being built, rumors flew that the Cannonball Express was said to be the longest privately owned railway in Australia. However, that was not true, not even close, in fact. The Cannonball Express wasn't even the longest privately owned passenger railway in Australia. It was all just Longhurst spin and PR. The IMAX theater was also exciting for Australians to envision. Longhurst began building a 7-story screen and a theater to fit almost 500 people. He also installed a $60,000 sound system to make the experience that much more compelling. Then there was Dreamworld's car ride, called at the time the Model T Ford's attraction. For the cars themselves, 14 replicas of 1911 Model T Fords were purchased by Longhorn at a cool cost of $12,000 each. These cars were then guided along a rail-guided figure-eight track. To round out the big features of the park, Longhurst built a long flume called the Rocky Hollow Log Ride, the Australian Koala Theater, and the Captain Stewart Paddle Wheeler in, you guessed it, the Murrissippi River. With a catchy slogan, quote, "So many worlds in one," Dreamworld was finally ready to be introduced to Australia. The park officially opened on December 15, 1981, with 220 employees and operating hours of 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., curiously, from Tuesday to Thursday. The admission fee for the park was $11.50 for an adult and $7.50 for a child, and it was one of the few park models at the time that sold an all-inclusive admission fee for visitors. At the opening, the park had 450 guests and a couple VIPs, including the Premier of Queensland of the time, Sir John Belky Peterson, along with, of course, the park's mascot, Kenny Koala. Just like Longhurst wanted, Dreamworld was called, quote, Australia's answer to Disneyland, and predicted to be the biggest tourist attraction in the Southern Hemisphere. Attendance mirrored this prediction. Within the first 4 months of operation, Dreamworld was a total hit, attracting over 250,000 guests. At the success of its initial opening, the park immediately started plans for further expansion. In April 1982, Dreamworld opened a new themed area titled Country Fair, which boasted Australia's newest and longest roller coaster, the Thunderbolt roller coaster. Then it added the Blue Lagoon Water Park, the Village Green, which had its own Matterhorn ride, you guessed it, just like Disney, and in 1986, another themed area called Gold Rush Country was built. In 1987, Koala Country was added. It just kept expanding, becoming Australia's biggest park with its most impressive roller coasters, including an exotic animal zoo, a production studio, and more. Not only was Dreamworld incredibly savvy with designing family-friendly rides and attractions, it knew how to fold and incorporate popular culture. After the success of an Australian Simpsons collaboration, Dreamworld invited Australia's Big Brother, yes, the reality show where a group of people live in a house, compete in challenges, and get eliminated every week to win a big monetary prize, to create their own house inside of the park. In 2001, the first Big Brother house was constructed in Dreamworld, with footage from the house monitored and edited 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in the park's own Dreamworld studios. The first couple seasons of Big Brother Australia went off without a hitch. What was especially fun for parkgoers was that, during the production of the series, visitors could access the Big Brother auditorium and view live footage from the house, like a little human zoo. But during this Big Brother phase of the park is when the reports of the hauntings first began, and the beginning of Dreamworld's identity as a paranormal hotspot truly came to be. More after this break.
Hi, hello, how are you?
Hello.
How are you doing?
Hello. Hello out there.
Oh. We want to say hello to anyone who's listening, supporting us, spreading the good word of Ghost Town. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
Yeah, you.
Yeah, even you.
Yeah.
Maybe not you.
Yeah.
No, you're right. That's right.
Who are we to turn into anyone?
Bring your tired and your poor.
Yeah. No, not your poor. You're rich and you're hot.
Got
Bring
it,
us
got
your
it.
Rich. And you're hot and tall.
That's right.
And by tall, I mean 5'9". We got some government. And we have some mayors. And hello, you might not know this, but we have a new mayor.
I did not know that.
It's all happening behind the scenes.
Why would I know that? I don't know my own name.
Yeah. I have to remind you the name of the podcast
that's
sometimes.
True. Yep. That's true.
We have a brand new mayor that we will be revealing. But what a coincidence. These mayors have been amusement park hauntings of their own.
Are they?
Not
have they?
Very intense. So the hauntings did not last very long because the rides did not last very long. This first mayor used to haunt the LinkedIn log flume.
Whoa.
Terrifying, I know.
Oh my God. It's like all of these job requirements. Wow. We're just dodging.
Hustle, culture,
different
B2B.
Exactly. User experience.
Yes.
Love it.
But the haunting of the LinkedIn log flume comes courtesy of Ashley Mattson.
Hello.
This mayor haunted the Outlook. I know. It's like Outlook is pretty
easy. Don't make out up there.
Yeah, don't look out there. Outlook is already, oh no, my Outlook's all full. They got so many messages on Outlook.
Yeah.
I haven't been in the corporate world in a while. Can you tell? That would be courtesy of Kat Jozell.
Hello.
This mayor wanted a ride called Slack Attack.
Scary.
Yeah. It's like, do we need Slack? Do we need it to attack?
This
mayor.
Bath.
This mayor thought so.
Mm-hmm.
It's Kelly Meehan.
Hello.
This mayor haunted a ride called the Zoom Boom. It was not a boom that happened on Zoom. It's the boom of Zoom when the pandemic happened and like the Zoom's stock prices really rose. Oh, everyone was on it. There was a big boom and everyone was like, kind of like, oh, there's other options. And also it's like, we don't need to Zoom all the time now. Wow. So it was like scary, but then it was like not so scary anymore.
When you first said that, I thought it was Wild West theme. The Zoom boom, like a gold rush.
It was the Zoom boom of like 2020.
Yeah. Oh, okay. 2020. Yeah, fair.
Pretty scary stuff.
Ooh.
That's Casey Weber.
Hello.
This mayor haunted a ride, a very scary ride called The Team Screams. Mm-mm. I don't know what Teams is. I know people use it.
I think Teams.
It's, you know, Teams. You probably, you have to communicate.
Yeah. It's, you're always getting messages.
Yeah.
You're never on or they're never on.
It's like, I don't want to be part of a team. When I grew up, I was like, I wasn't part of a team in school. And like, why would I want to be part of one now?
I'm idling on Teams still, probably. Mm-hmm.
Well, haunting that one is Matthew Clemenz Lurie.
Hello.
This mayor did a little haunting. The very scary ride. The WhatsApp zap. When you're like, I just got a WhatsApp and it's probably a scammer from another country.
Or it's my boss.
Yeah, either one. You don't know.
Just pick
one. Both terrifying.
Yes.
It's Marissa Rothermel.
Hello.
And our newest mayor. Welcome to our newest mayor who has a history of haunting.
Mm.
This mayor haunted the ride QuickBooks.
That's good.
It's scary at first, and then it's like, oh, it's just accounting.
Books. Yeah.
But
it's like, whoa.
But very, very spooky. We want to welcome our brand new mayor, Chris Hernandez.
Ooh, hello.
Welcome to the party.
Yeah, you're going to like it here. Get into this
and
hot tub with
us. And even if you
us.
Don't like it here, there's not much you can do about it.
Mm-mm.
We're too old to change.
That's right.
Welcome, Chris Hernandez. Now, Chris, you have someone to answer to, by the way. Our governor.
Of course.
Who, I will let you know, almost met in person.
When? Where? Why? How?
You wouldn't have not been there. You would have not been there. I do a monthly show.
She almost flew in a private jet to your show. Come on. I think you're bullshitting me.
Hear me out. Hear me out.
Okay.
She was coming to LA anyway for an event. Mm-hmm. But in Florida, there's been, unfortunately, there's a lot of trouble weather-wise, and she could not fly out.
Mm-hmm.
But message back and forth, and
no
she,
way.
Was gonna, she was going to come to the show.
Oh.
It's called Boxy Comedy, which did our Halloween one. If you want to check my Instagram, Jason Horton, you want to see the spooky, me in a spooky costume. I'll share it on Ghost Town because it's just me.
Yeah,
in
you should.
Because it was a very, I almost had vertigo in it. So it was, you're going to see it. but almost came and visited. Cool. I know.
Should I get married just to invite her? Like I want, now I want to invite her to something that I'm doing, which is nothing.
Yeah.
I'm literally doing nothing.
We should have an event. And make it a big thing, but only invite her. She'd be like, ah, oh, cool.
She'd be like, you're creepy.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
We are. That's true. That's very cool. It's very cool news.
But you know what? Let's just, that was enough information. Let's just, our governor who almost just came out and came to like a random comedy show.
Oh my God.
Because that's where she's at.
Yeah.
That's the lifestyle. But I said, I was like, weather's not safe. Don't do it. She's like, I wasn't looking for your approval. I was not going to do it anyway. Why would I?
Yeah. You're not my daddy.
Yeah.
Thank you, though.
Yeah. Because you're too young. Anyway, that's our governor, Avian Noble. So if you want no ads, no chit chat, bonus episodes, 7 days free, head on over to patreon.com/ghosttownpod.
I also want to add before we get back into it that we have a special Halloween 3-part series. We're going to announce what that is later, but we are so excited.
And there'll be a reason for you to go to our Instagram, which we never post on, but we've been saving it up for this. We need to do more of that. Maybe somebody out there wants to take over our Instagram. I don't know.
Yeah,
is anyone out there?
Help us?
Anyone want to help us take over our Instagram? Do
cool.
stuff with the episodes we put out. We don't know how to do
intern.
It.
Anyone want to intern with
yeah,
us?
Yeah, yeah.
That'd be cool.
And
but we're super excited. We're in the midst of interviewing people surrounding this site, this event, and we're always so proud of our Halloween ones because they allow us to dig deeper. So the first one is going to be on the 23rd, October 23rd. Second one October 25th. Third one, October 30th.
Whoa.
Third one, October 30th. I stumbled over that one. It's going to be really fun. Again, we like to do something special for you guys during this spooky season. This is our time.
So this is our time to shine.
Exactly. And shine we will try. But yeah, we're super excited about this one, and we hope you will be too. More information to come. That's just some buzz. Just a little bit of buzz and PR.
Yeah. That's what we're good at, buzz.
Oh, on that note, why don't we get back into it? For over a decade, Big Brother was filmed at DreamWorld Studios inside of the popular Disney-inspired theme park. It was during the BB filming that people began to think DreamWorld actually was haunted, beginning with the Big Brother crew. Keep in mind the show, like The American and all of the other versions, would film 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Ample time for solitary producers or film crew to witness anything, unusual or not. That was their job. So the crew collectively began to feel things shift, beginning with encountering the ghost of a little girl that seemingly no one before Big Brother, at the park or otherwise, had ever seen. The show's culture chose not to hide this fact, but actually incorporated it into its production and brand identity. In fact, the official website for the show, Big Brother Australia, used to have an article up about their DreamWorld set ghost. And though it has since been taken down, the Big Brother forums often talk about how the show leaned into this, quote, extra housemate, described as a little girl that, quote, couldn't have been older than 7 and wore a white dress. She often walked through the house and filming areas or would appear to the crew and cast as a reflection in the mirror. The child would also be heard whispering, which would echo throughout the building. No one seems to know where she came from, and theories range from a highway accident nearby to a grave from an old farmhouse where the Big Brother house was initially built. Frustratingly, with so many cameras around during the filming, no video evidence has emerged of the sightings of the ghost, or the mysterious fog that sometimes appeared in the ghost's favorite haunting spots around the house. Unfortunately for them, and fortunately for us, at one point every single member of the film crew heard and or saw the ghost throughout production. It was almost a rite of passage to being part of the show itself. When fans looked into who this girl was, they were dismayed to find that there were no reported deaths, especially of young girls, during the Big Brother house's construction. But there is another explanation that we'll get to very soon. The Big Brother house wasn't the only place people started experiencing or capitalizing on paranormal phenomena in the park. Park employees also had their own version of the Big Brother ghost, someone they called Jack Dark. According to stories, Jack Dark was a quiet, hardworking gold prospector from the 1800s that had mysteriously been killed by a buzzsaw. The town register, as it happened when it died, said that he was attempting to burn down the sawmill, but townsfolk and rumors of the time suggest that he was actually kind of a folk hero, that he was perhaps killed trying to stop an attempted arson and was pushed into the buzzsaw. Either way, it's a pretty sad and painful way to go, but clearly not sad enough, because in 2011, the park opened a buzzsaw ride literally on the site of Jack Dark's death, with the theme being killer buzzsaws. After the ride was created, late-night security would witness Jack Dark's ghost wandering the ride, with most sightings happening between midnight and 3 a.m. on nights with a full moon and little cloud cover. Of course, there was no audio or visual representation to support any haunting. But then other things started to go awry at DreamWorld. On November 8, 2013, the park was evacuated when a mysterious fire came within a dangerously close proximity to the park. Within an hour, the park was devoid of people, and DreamWorld announced via Facebook that the blaze was under control thanks to firefighters, and that the park could reopen as normal the next day. It did, but in the next couple years, things would get even stranger, and the park's overt fatalities would begin. In 2014, Big Brother moved houses, leaving the DreamWorld Big Brother house permanently closed. The park didn't do anything with the original house, which was easily accessible to non-parkgoers and employees, and was getting more and more run down. Soon the abandoned house began to be vandalized, a hotspot for ghost hunters and urban explorers, or whomever might be passing through. In April 2016, a man fell out of DreamWorld's log ride when he stood up mid-ride. He was then run over by two more logs that passed, suffered multiple head wounds, and almost drowned in the ride's shallow water. The ride was closed for 2 days while it was investigated by Queensland authorities, but reopened shortly thereafter. In October 2016, a tragedy on the Thunder River Rapids ride resulted in the deaths of 4 people, 2 crushed on the ride and 2 drowning within the ride's shallow water. A news report states, quote, "Due to the failure of one of the 2 large water pumps essential for the ride's operation, the water level in the ride dropped quickly, causing a raft, which was occupied by 6 guests, to become stranded on supporting rails near the end of the raft conveyor and unable to reach the unloading area. Approximately 1 minute later, another raft carrying 6 passengers moved down the conveyor and collided with the first stranded raft. Both rafts pivoted upwards, driven by movement of the conveyor, before the first raft fell back to a level position resting on support rails. The second raft was further moved by the conveyor into a vertical position and subsequently caused passengers to either fall out of the raft or become trapped in close proximity to the conveyor mechanism, leading to fatal injuries for 4 passengers. The other 2 passengers, both children, were able to climb out of the raft, still in its vertical orientation, to nearby platforms once the conveyor had been shut down by ride staff. Draining the river, over 7 paramedic crews responded to the 000, their 911 call, along with firefighters and police. The recovery of the bodies went on into the early hours of the next morning, with some paramedics requiring counseling due to the trauma of the scene. Another article stated that the paramedics were further traumatized by the nearby living family members' persistent crying and screams at them to do more as they watched their family members being crushed within the ride. Regarded as the worst accident at an Australian theme park since the 1970s, the ride was permanently closed and later demolished, and the park took a huge hit financially, socially, with people not wanting to support the park or be in harm's way themselves. On the afternoon of June 22, 2019, fire and emergency services arrived at the park shortly after plumes of smoke started billowing from the old Big Brother house, and the whole set was engulfed by a fire. One witness told my GC at the time that, quote, "cops were everywhere, sussing teenagers around the area. One teen got absolutely tackled by roughly 4 police officers." 6 children, aged between 11 and 15 years old, were caught at a nearby train station, arrested, and taken in for questioning. 4 were charged with arson. The house was, at that point, completely demolished. Of course, during all of this, the internet has been rife with speculation. Why is all of this happening? Is there a reason, a connection? Is it arbitrary? At worst, is it a random string of tragedies tied together through the enduring Dreamworld theme park? Of course, it's hard to say. But there is one strong theory about the origin of the hauntings and maybe some of the tragedies at Dreamworld theme park. Just over 0.5 mile away is the Kumira Cemetery, created in the 1800s. Kumira Cemetery is reportedly haunted by several ghosts, and many believe that the haunting of the Big Brother house and park may have been overflow from those buried in the cemetery, specifically the children there. After all, what better place for a child ghost to haunt for all eternity than a Disney-esque, glamorous, and exciting amusement park?